It's 65 degrees at a minute before noon. This is WHQR Wilmington, 92.7 Classical HQR and 91.3 HQR News. I'm Gina Gamboni, and this is the Midday Interview. My guest today is Eben French Mastin, a well-known local actor. You may have seen him recently playing the title role of the Hermit of Fort Fisher for Big Dog Productions. Great show that was. Thank you for joining us today, Eben.
Well, thanks for having me, Gina.
Great to see you always. Now, Eben has his director hat on, not his hermit hat or many of the other many roles he's played hat. And he's directing Brunswick Little Theater's production of Moonlight and Magnolias, which opens this Friday. It runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week and next week at Brunswick Little Theater. Showtime is 7:30 Friday and Saturday, 3 o'clock on Sundays. You can find out more at brunswicklittletheater.com. Now, Eben, Moonlight and Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this show is about the making of Gone with the Wind.
That's correct.
And beyond that, if we know nothing else, tell us about why it's important to have even made a play about the making of Gone with the Wind.
Well, this is actually a true story, Gina. David O. Selznick was making Gone with the Wind. He shut down production after 3 weeks of shooting and decided he didn't like the way the script was. So he literally, and this is a true story, he brought in Victor Fleming, the director of The Wizard of Oz, took him off Oz and brought him in, and he took a well-known screenwriter, Ben Heck, brought him in. He literally locked them in his office for 5 full days and fed them nothing but peanuts and bananas and made them rewrite the movie.
What's up with that peanuts and bananas?
He said it was brain food. That's exactly, it's brain food. It keeps you fresh.
Who had written the original?
Margaret Mitchell had, of course, wrote the book.
Right.
And then he had Sidney Howard did a synopsis or a scenario. But that was like 4,000 pages long. It would have taken 8 hours to film or to watch. So he had to rewrite it. But he took little bits and pieces. He kept some of the book, but he just didn't like it. That's mm-hmm. all.
Because, you know, so the question is, why is he so obsessed about making, you know, why didn't he just do his job and direct the show? And but he was obviously passionate about it.
He was very passionate. They tried to tell him no Civil War movie had ever made a dime, would never make a dime. But he had this vision, and of course, when he started production and then 3 weeks later shut it down at a cost of $50,000 a day while it was shut down, which was big money back in 1939. But he was determined to prove that he wasn't a schmuck like his father-in-law, which was Louis B. Mayer. He had to prove a point, but he was very obsessive about this.
And then, so finally he got a script he wanted
after
the
days.
Peanuts and the bananas. and then going into the actual filming, there were big things happening.
Oh, my goodness. He used over 490,000 feet of film. He used 1,200 horses, 365 pigs, 1,500 extras to be bodies just lying around. He had 200 sets built. 90 of them alone used over 1 million feet of lumber. He went crazy. In fact, Victor Fleming walked off the set twice. He had George Cukor. He fired George Cukor first because he thought he was making it too pansy-fied, as he called it. So he brought in Victor Fleming, and then Fleming walked off, and then Fleming came back, and Sam Wood came in and directed. George Cukor was good with the females, but once he fired them, Vivian Leigh and Olivia de Havilland met with Cukor on the side, and he coached them. Victor Fleming was good with the men, so by the end of the movie, the second half, Victor was doing the scenes with the men. George Cukor was back doing them with the females. Somebody else was in. It was just a hodgepodge of people.
And that is really excessive for that time? I mean, now the excess in Hollywood is, you know, it's a bit, I mean, in 1939.
Way over budget.
Right.
Way over budget. He ended up, I think the movie, when they finally got it edited and everything, it was like $4.5 million, which was a huge sum of money back then.
Now, you have a cast, and I'm wondering, how have you worked with the character playing Selznick?
The cast, I'm thrilled to have. I got to say, when I held auditions in Brunswick County, which has got a lot of actors, I ended up only having three people show up for the auditions. So I called some of my friends here in Wilmington, and basically, if people come see this, they're going to see Richard Davis, who played my son in The Hermit. They're going to see Hal Kosick, who played Impey. They're going to see Ellie Pittenger, who played the tourist and the medical examiner. And they're going to see a young lady named Kathy Cagney Rossi, who is actually related to James Cagney, but I've done some plays with her down in Southport. Excellent actress. So it's the Hermit crew.
Right. Oh, that's a great cast.
Oh yeah,
that's a great cast.
Excellent.
Which one's playing Selznick?
Richard's playing Selznick.
How has he gotten into that part?
Well, he's got the character down.
I bet.
The hard part about this is that with three people on stage for the whole play, there are tons and tons of line. My goodness, the monologues. I'm glad I'm not playing one of the parts in this. I'd be stir crazy. I will have to say we have adult language. Adult language.
But as you can only expect with the directors.
It's very funny. I know people will enjoy it.